Thank you for loving us so much. And Father, I thank you for chastising us, because that's proof that you love us. You know our hearts. We may fool others, but we can't fool you. You know our hearts. Hallelujah. And when you chastise us because you love us. It's because you love us. Glory. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much. Now, Father, as I minister your word for a little while, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear, a heart to receive your word, and that they would receive this word, make this word a part of them, and walk it out in their lives. And Father, we give you the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen. Now let me clarify something here. A lot of times when people think about chastisement, you know, God chastising us, they accuse him of throwing sickness and disease on us, and that's not what he does. Amen. Hallelujah. God can rebuke us without making us sick. But here's the thing. Sometimes when we are disobedient, we bring it upon ourselves, don't we? Simply because we know what we should be doing, and we refuse to do that, and we do something else, and we open the door. Let me make this very plain to you, every one of you. God is not your enemy. He is your friend. The devil is your enemy, and he's the one that's trying to destroy you. He's trying to destroy us, amen? But God is our friend. God loves us, amen. And guess what? He loves us enough to tell us the truth about ourselves. Hallelujah. And that's the way we need to have the same love for our children. You know, if you see your child about to fall into something, you need to go ahead and tell them about it in love. Amen? Because you don't want to see them hurt or destroyed. And God is no different. He loves his people. Amen? Now, last week, I ministered on living in him being Jesus. So as a matter of fact, let's go back to Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, I'll begin again at verse 26. It says, He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he be not far from each one of us. And look at verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. You see that? I say, you see that? In him we live and move and have our being. Amen. I'm just reading verse 28a, the first part of that. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. We must make a decision that we are going to live in Him. In Him. Praise the name of the Lord. And we have been placed, and we just read it, on this earth for a reason. God has a plan for our lives. God has a plan for your life. Amen. And we need to be determined that God's will is going to be done in our lives. And that's a decision that we have to make. Amen. Hallelujah. And how many of you want to see your prayers answered? Hallelujah. Amen. Me too. I want to see my prayers answered. Praise God. Now, I also told you this. Well, let me back up a minute. I want to read what I wrote here. The thing that every Christian that loves God desires the most is to see God at work in their lives. If you love Him, you want to see Him working in your life, right? You want to see your prayers answered. You want to see your bodies healed. You want to see your loved ones healed, and so forth. Now, the Lord kept stressing to me last week as I was preparing this, because this is where the attack is. A part of the attack is the assembly. And so let me say it this way. Now you are here, amen, and I just want to encourage you to keep on doing what you are doing right now. But it is important, hear me good, it's important that believers come to church. Amen. United we stand, divided we fall. And I told you last week, there are some that would be in church if they could be in church. But sometimes for health reasons or whatever, some folks can't come to church, or they may be in a hospital, or they may be confined at their home and they can't come to church, or at least for right now. But listen, let me tell you something. This is very important. If you can get up and go to church, guess what you need to do? Get up and go to church. Amen. Go to church. Can I tell y'all something? I don't really know why. I told my wife this morning, we didn't get to bed real early. She went to bed before I did, but I didn't get to bed real early. Didn't have anything on my mind, you know. Read from the Word of God and just, you know, fellowship with the Lord before I went to sleep. And I like to do that. So I probably should have been in bed earlier, but it was late. And I woke up this morning, 5 o'clock, and I couldn't go back to sleep, and I have not been back to sleep. But I'm gonna tell you something, I was physically tired. Okay? I was physically tired. Now, it would have been easy for me to pick up the phone and call one of these brothers or sisters, ministers, say, hey, listen, preach for me this morning. But I know that's not what God wanted me to do. So I was not going to yield to my flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, we need proper rest. Can I get amen on that? Yes, we do. We need proper rest. But we also need to know what our responsibilities are and rest around that. Y'all still with me? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So, you know, the Lord just kept dealing with me. Come to church. And so I turned to the book of Hebrews. We went there last week, but I want to go here again. Hebrews chapter 10. You know, God knows the future better than we know the past. And God knows what we're going to need. Hebrews chapter 10, we read it last week, I want to read it again. And I begin reading at verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Glory to God. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. See, that's what Minister Tony was talking about earlier. It's time for the people of God to love one another, not just in word, but in deed, and to pray for one another. Verse 24 again, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. And I'm reading from the New King James Bible. As is the manner of some. But what should we be doing, Lord? But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you do what? See the day approaching. The day of the Lord is fast approaching. The day of the coming of the Lord is fast approaching. But the scripture tells us plainly that before Jesus comes back, even before he catch away the saints, the Bible says perilous times will come. That's times that are hard to bear. Hard to bear. We got to listen to me. We got to be like the wise man that Jesus talked about, that built his house on the rock. As a matter of fact, he dug. Jesus says, let me back up. One fellow was lazy. So he built his house on the sand because he had other things. I got something else I got to do. I mean, I don't have time to be digging in this dirt, laying this foundation. I'm just going to build this house here on the sand. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. I'm looking up. The sun's shining. Beautiful day today. I'm going to build my house on the sand. But he was unprepared for the storm. Are you still with me? He was unprepared for the storm. So when the storm came, guess what? His house was destroyed. Jesus called this man unwise. But then there was another fella that built his house on a solid foundation. He put some effort into it. Says he dug deep so that his foundation would be on the rock. Let me tell you something. We got to dig deep into the Word of God. You listening to me? We got to dig deep into the Word of God. We've got to put some things, some other things, we got to let them go, that we make sure that we are building on the solid foundation, which is God's Word and the things of God. That takes time, that takes effort, that takes work. But I believe it was the same storm. Cain, blew on this man's house, and it stood firm. Why? Because it was built on a solid foundation. What am I saying, brothers and sisters? When the storm comes, we don't want to be shaky. We don't want to be shaky. We don't want to be uprooted. But we want to stand firm, knowing that our Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. So we are told in God's word not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching, the coming of the Lord approaching. There's a reason for that. Hallelujah. There's a reason for it, and it's so that we will stand strong. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, bless him with me. Glory to God. Just hang with me just a minute here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is not in my notes, but I'm going back to my notes. But turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. Excuse me. Third chapter. Verse 1, it says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. These will be times that's hard to bear. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Despisers of good. You see that? Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, excuse me, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And what are we told to do? From such people, turn away. Amen. Now, I won't give me 2 Timothy chapter 3, the very first verse in the New Living Translation, please. Hallelujah. I didn't know I was going to go in this direction, but I know there's a reason for it. Praise God. All right. It says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Verse 2. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents. Are we seeing that today? It's in the news, folks. Disobedient to their parents and ungrateful, they will consider nothing sacred. Verse 3. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. No self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. Amen. Going against what the Bible says. Going totally against what the Bible says, what God says. Let God be true and every man a liar. Hallelujah. Verse 4. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. Verse 5. They will act religious. That's having a form of godliness. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Read the rest of that verse out loud.
Stay away from people like that.
Stay away from people like that. Amen. You can love them, you can pray for them, but you don't have to hang with them. Let me say that again. You can love them and you should love them. And pray for them, you should do that, but you don't have to hang with them. Amen. Jesus himself said, on that day, there will be some that come to him and say, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do great, mighty works in your name? But Jesus said he's going to tell them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. What was Jesus saying? Yeah. You did it to benefit you. You did your own thing. Hallelujah. Amen. Are y'all glad you came to church today? See, here's the thing. I want all of God's word. Even when it pinch my toes, give it to me anyway. Hallelujah. I want the truth. Are you still here? Praise the name of the Lord. All right. Let me let me move on here. Thank you, Jesus. But as it says in James chapter 1, verse 22, let us be doers of the word of God and not just hearers only. Do you hear me? Let's be doers of God's word and not hearers only. In the book of Job, the writer says, I've esteemed his word above my necessary food. Amen. Turn there. Put it on the screen for me, please. Job chapter 23, verse 12. Job chapter 23, verse 12. He says, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured his words, or the words of his mouth. We were here last week. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. What's part of my responsibility as a pastor is to get you to fall in love with God even to a greater degree every time you hear his word. Amen? And that goes for me too. Hallelujah. To fall more and more and more in love with him. Another way of saying it is becoming more like him. Becoming more like him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want to close out. I didn't get here last week, and I want to close out with this. But understand this, God is trustworthy. You can trust him. If we will do our part, God will do his part. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it tells us that all the promises of God are yes and amen. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Whatever you need, God's got it. Hallelujah. Whatever you need, God has it for you. Listen to this. And I gave you this, I don't know, several years back, but I want to read it to you again. The only limitations we have is the amount of the Word of God we receive and our willingness to believe that Word. Let me read it to you again. The only limitation we have, because God's true to his promise. What he promised, he's going to do. Because he promised us if we would draw near to him, he would do what? Absolutely. Glory to God. The only limitations we have is the amount of the word of God that we receive and our willingness to believe that word and act on that word. Go to the Gospel of John. The 8th chapter. John chapter 8. I thank you for me with you are for me with these verses, but I want to read them anyway. Verse 30, John chapter 8, verse 30, this is Jesus speaking. It says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Now listen to what he told them. He said, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And what will happen to you? Somebody tell me. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Now let me tell you something. This Bible is the truth. This is where we get God's word from. But you can have 1,000 Bibles and still live a miserable life. Understand something. It's the truth you know and act upon that makes you free. Amen. I mean, you know, I can quote, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's the word. Amen. And that's the truth. He will do that. But if I just pull that verse out of context and don't do the rest, it's not going to work for me. If I don't give, if I don't give my tithe, if I don't give offerings, it's not going to work. I can quote all day long, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. But you know what? If I didn't act on that, which I did act on it, praise God. But if I had not acted on it, it would still be in the Bible. It would still be true. But it will not be working for me. Because Hebrews chapter 11, 6 say, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Rewarder them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, I want to make sure you get this, and I'm going to finish reading this. I'm getting ready to close out. only limitations we have is the amount of the Word of God we receive and our willingness to believe that Word and, of course, act on that Word. Next, the promises of God, and this is good news, the promises of God are not affected or limited by our circumstances. Let me say that again. The promises of God are not affected or limited by our circumstances. Hallelujah. It's not. But it is limited by our actions and our attitudes. Romans chapter 10, what does it say? Well, I'll tell you what it says. Them that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Them that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means we got to do something, folks. Amen. We got to be action people. And I wrote this down. The reason some people are not seeing results is that their attitudes and their actions are all wrong. Are you ready for the last one? You can't continue to live any way you choose and expect the promises of God to manifest in your life. I want to read this again. You can't continue to live any way you choose. I don't care what they say, Pastor, nobody else gonna tell me what to do. That's my business. Okay, go on with your bad self. You bad? Well, that's the problem. You bad. You can't continue to live any way you choose and expect the promises of God to manifest in your life. Your actions and your choices will hinder your faith. Amen. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you for your holy word. And we know that your word will never ever return back to you void. But Father, I pray that those under the sound of my voice will draw closer to you. Those that are in a backslidden condition, may they come back to you, Father. I pray that they come back to you, Father. We don't want to be like the word said about Peter, that he followed Jesus at a distance. Father, help us not to follow you at a distance. Just close enough like never before.